No, wherever, Keith. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're about 5 minutes past the meeting hour, so perhaps we should begin. I wonder if a chancellor judges his effectiveness by the extent of the audience that returns for the second convocation. I'm not sure. In any event, how rapidly the summer seems to have escaped us. Once again, we are preparing for the arrival of our students and meeting again as colleagues to discuss our plans for the year and activities over the summer. I'm most pleased to welcome all of you to the 1982-83 academic year. And for those of you who have been working all summer, I hope that you've taken some time for a little respite and relaxation. For those of you who have...
There you get it on the wrong side.
Finest unit in the University of Alaska system. Today we begin our seventh decade of continuous service to the state of Alaska. And in approximately 3 weeks, we will celebrate our 60th anniversary with a weeks-long salute to academic tradition. I hope that all of you will take the opportunity to participate in this week-long ceremony. Over the course of this past year, I've had the opportunity to meet with many...
Gentlemen, maybe...
...departmental meetings. I wish to thank you for taking the time to share your program information, plans, and problems with me, and I hope that you will continue to extend such invitations to me and to the Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs. It not only was extremely valuable in getting to know your programs better, but also in learning your concerns, issues, and challenges. And at the same time, it provided for an exchange of philosophy, ideas, and perhaps even on occasion, some argument. I said a year ago that we needed to shape each other's concepts and views, and through this process to create a synergy with which to guide our future development and to achieve our potential as an institution. I think this is happening to some degree, but there is still room for improvement, so let's continue to expand it. And if I have not yet had the opportunity to meet with you and your departmental faculties, please feel free to extend an invitation. Regarding our formal mechanisms of communication, let me reaffirm the role of the Executive Council, the Assembly, and the Academic Council. The Executive Council consists of the Chancellor, the Assembly President, the Vice Chancellors, Deans, and the President of ASUA, while the Assembly consists of your own elected representatives. The Academic Council is, of course, made up of both administration, faculty, and students, and handles all matters relating to academic policy. Essentially, between the Assembly and the Executive Council, we share the policy direction for this university. To further enhance the ties between administration, faculty, staff, and students, I have tried over the course of this past year to make all necessary committees derivatives of the Assembly. So feel free to bring any issue of policy implication either to your dean or assembly representative so that you might get it before the Executive Council or the Assembly. Three important committees of the Assembly have openings this year due to expired terms. They are the Promotion Committee, with 4 vacant seats for 2-year terms. Members must be full-time faculty at the rank of associate or full professor, with no 2 members from the same department or program. The Tenure Committee has 3 vacant seats for 2-year terms. Members must be full-time tenured faculty who hold the rank of associate or full professor with at least 10 years of academic experience and preferably at least two institutions. The Sabbatical Leave Committee has three vacant seats for three-year terms, and members must be full-time faculty who have previously had a sabbatical. All nominations should be accompanied by the nominee's consent to serve if elected by the Assembly, as well as a bio sketch, and should be submitted to the Assembly office not later than September 8, 1982. By the way, I should point out that all continuing members of all three committees are men, and so there is some apparent room for sexual parity on these committees yet. I've also asked the Assembly this year to appoint three additional permanent committees to deal with continuing issues at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. There is a need for a campus-wide computer advisory committee. As many of you are aware, the statewide CAC has been disbanded, and a decision has been reached to approach academic computing on a distributive basis. An ad hoc committee of the Assembly did some work last year, but there is a need to develop a campus-wide plan which will address incremental needs in hardware, software, and human resources, that will address networking in such a manner that the control is left with the purchaser of the computer, that is, the Geophysical Institute, School of Management, School of Engineering, etc. But at the same time, access can be gained to both the central system and to other departmental computers with the consent of the controlling entity. This evidently will necessitate some coordination and some compatibility of systems. When we have this, we must then come up with a reasonably staged implementation schedule and accurate cost factors. Furthermore, serious consideration must now and probably should have already been given to a potential policy that will assure that each of our graduates from this institution, our students, obtain an adequate computer literacy. We must also address what role the University of Alaska has relative to computing as a science in itself and as a tool in application of other disciplines. I have asked for a campus-wide facilities planning group, a building campus and development committee. This is not the space use committee, but rather a planning group which will guide the future development of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. It will be charged with developing a capital improvements program based upon hard data and real need. And it shall determine the best use of existing space and deal with any reallocations of space when necessary. I must tell you that currently our long-range capital improvements program is virtually non-existent, for it lacks a basis in fact, it lacks a basis in consistency from year to year, and it lacks the completeness and congruence than what that one might expect and demand. Add to this fact the fact that our last facilities for teaching and research occurred with the opening of the Greening Building and the O'Neill Resources Building in 1972, a decade ago when our student enrollment was approximately 40% of what it is today. Add also the fact that our academic core is virtually locked in from further expansion, and add the psychological need, I think, to link the West Ridge and the lower campus in order to achieve an integrated whole. And I think that you will quickly come to realize how crucial the situation is and that we must immediately and coherently deal with it. This planning group will report to the Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, and staff will be provided to it. I'm also seeking to establish a permanent athletic program committee. Our institutional accreditation requirements require that the basic purpose of our athletic program be in harmony with the institution's mission. It additionally requires that intercollegiate athletics be organized under the supervision of the faculty and the administration. I think we have been somewhat remiss in the former. Additionally, the athletic program must also contribute to the personal development of the student and to the educational development of the institution. As a result of last spring's academic performance, slightly over 40% of all of our student athletes are now ineligible to compete this year. I need your assistance in helping to redirect the focus of this program toward that of scholar-athlete rather than athlete-scholar. In the academic realm this past year, the Academic Council spent a great deal of time through its graduate subcommittee reviewing our graduate programs. And over the course of the summer, they have formulated some recommendations which will be presented to the Council and to the Assembly this fall. I encourage you to review and to comment upon these. Additionally, this year, the Academic Council will be considering a possible reduction in the time requirements per credit hour from 840 minutes to a possible 750. It will also be considering a possible reduction in the minimum requirement for a baccalaureate degree from 130 semester hours to 120. All of the institutions in the University of Alaska system seem to be somewhat of an anomaly. The Academic Council last year seems to have checked this back into the most institutions in the United States require in the neighborhood of 120 hours for the baccalaureate. We require 130, apparently tying back to the time when military science and physical education were required. Those requirements were dropped, but the overall total was not reduced. The Council is also reviewing the bachelor's degree, and I'm sure that it welcomes comments on all of these issues. 2 years from this fall, we will have an evaluation visit from the Northwest Commission on Colleges regarding institutional reaccreditation. This group will be chaired by Dr. Joseph Crowley, president of the University of Nevada, Reno. And that means that a year from now, we will have to begin a year-long process of self-study. Preparations have been underway for some period of time. Dr. Dan Hawkins of the Department of Geology has consented to serve as chairman of the steering committee. And by this January, we must make the final appointments to that steering committee so that over the course of this coming spring, preparation and planning for the process of self-study next year may begin. What about changes? Some comments are probably in order. Over the past year, there have been a few. Following a request from Dr. Bob Carlson and after some discussions, the Institute of Water Resources has been moved from the School of Agriculture and Land Resource Management to the School of Engineering. This move is in line with the changing nature of the Institute, as well as its current and future relationships with engineering. Following a series of discussions with the Psychology and Sociology Department, as well as the Education School this past spring, Psychology and Sociology has been transferred from the College of Arts and Sciences to the new College of Human and Rural Development. Three departments have been formed within this college: Education, Human Services, Rural Development. This change permits, we think, a greater collaboration of talent and redirects the focus of this college toward a greater concentration of efforts toward the needs of multicultural societies and rural professions. It is undertaking this year a major revamping of its curricula, an in-service development program for its faculty, and an evaluation of its field-based delivery mechanisms in order to better achieve its goals and missions and to improve the quality of its existing programs. Further, it has made a commitment to strengthen the role of its faculty in research pertaining to the solution of Alaskan problems in education and in human services. I think it is an exciting new venture that holds not only the promise of truly meeting some particular unaddressed Alaskan needs, but also the potential of strengthening and developing the college toward a national reputation in the solution of rural and cross-cultural problems of societies. Note carefully my use of the words promise and potential. I make no claim that this is a present accomplishment, but rather a future charge to achievement that I feel the faculty has embraced and is capable of accomplishing as it reinnovates itself. What are future changes? Only a few are still under consideration, and I hope to put a final proposal before the Assembly by October 1st for their review and comment. I suppose the considerations as I see them fall into essentially three questions. One, shall the schools of engineering and mineral industry merge to form the School of Engineering and Mineral Industry? Many of you read last spring about this issue, and I have heard from many groups. Let me assure you that no final determination has yet been made, and arguments have been offered both for and against. Whatever decision is ultimately reached, I wish to assure you that it will be made in the best interests of the institution and not on the basis of political pressure or vested interest groups. Next, how can AEIDC, the Arctic Environmental Information Data Center, and ISER, the Institute of Social and Economic Research, how can those institutes be better organized to better assist the University of Alaska Fairbanks in accomplishing its mission? Toward this end, I shall be establishing a Joint Assembly Administration Committee to review these institutes and to make recommendations. Finally, how can the sciences be best organized to maximize departments and programs in teaching, research, and service? These questions have been held in abeyance over the course of this summer, for I have a need for more discussions with some of the departments that I've not yet had the opportunity to visit with. I guess I would additionally expect some minor sorting out in the upper administrative tier of the university in order to streamline services and improve efficiency. But whatever the outcomes, three guiding principles shall prevail. One, optimizing teaching and research through a synergy of colleagues in like disciplines. Two, overall enhancement of the University of Alaska Fairbanks mission. And three, if it doesn't work, fix it. There are also some new and exciting things happening this year. In staff development, we've been able to add $174,000 to the sabbatical leave program to bring this program up to about $400,000. Les Targeson in the Office of Human Development will be arranging for a series of staff development workshops for supervisors. Staples Brown in the physical plant has had a management audit performed on his operation and will be moving toward the development and implementation of engineered work standards, which he believes will improve the efficiency of his operation and the productivity of his people by about 50%. The staff development program to enhance the faculty awareness of developments in computers and in understanding their potential applications to their own disciplines is in a preliminary planning stage and will be implemented this fall. And finally, additional travel funds have been added to the instructional budgets in most of the colleges in order to enhance conference travel. We have three new programs beginning this year in the degree program areas. We have a Master of Science in Petroleum Engineering with its first group of students, a Master's in Resource Economics, and we also have a Bachelor of Arts in Applied Linguistics. This past summer has seen an increase of approximately 65% in our summer school enrollment, made up primarily of Alaskans, and the interesting fact was most of the enrollment appeared to be in the basic requirements and in applied computer courses. As a result, we shall be implementing in the summer of 83, that's next summer, the beginning of a trimester offering which will run a full 13 weeks and allow students to take a full program, in addition to our 3-week and 6-week sessions. I think a really outstanding job in this particular effort was performed by Dr. Todd Ray and his staff. Continuing studies this fall as an expanded evening program, and it is also assessing interest in weekend college activities. The report from the International Education Task Force has been received, and policy proposals in this area will be put forward to the Assembly shortly. In the meantime, we are making some immediate improvement in our role as a host institution to our exchange students by improving our English as a Foreign Language program and providing a student peer advisor to international students, along with some other minor changes. The Honors Program, which the Vice Chancellor will chat with you a little bit more about, was passed by the Assembly last spring and is now entering a beginning stage of development. And we will be seeking a faculty member to serve part-time in the development of this. We will purchase the time from the departments. In any event, the Honors Program is an attempt within our land-grant philosophy to develop a specific challenge program for some very talented students that we feel might be going elsewhere to school at the present time. Special sections, seminars, reading and research programs will all be part of it. Additionally, as a result of a series of meetings last winter between AFN officials and ourselves, in attempting to address their needs for a cadre of well-trained and well-educated professionals for their corporations, who additionally have a strong cultural identity, special funding was provided this year to establish a Rural Alaskan Honors Institute. Briefly stated, this program shall try to make an impact in four fields: business and management, engineering, science with a special emphasis on natural resources, and education. It shall do so by attempting to identify early, during their junior year of high school, the very top talent in rural schools and bring them for a summer enrichment program on campus following their junior year. They will then enroll as freshmen following their senior year in the four fields that I mentioned and would also be taking a minor in Alaska Native Studies. It is our intent to fast-track these students to try to assist them to achieve their degree goals in 4 years. And finally, there will be a requirement that links our academic world with practical experience by providing a 2-month internship for all students with Alaska Native corporations and their subsidiaries following each of their first 3 years of school. The recently established Office of Quaternary Studies is this fall sponsoring its first visiting professor in the person of Dr. Charles E. Schwager of the Department of Anthropology, University of Alberta. A paleoecologist, Dr. Schwager will be providing a series of guest lectures in several classes and professional talks to colleagues and students. I'm also most pleased to announce a campus-wide Visiting Distinguished Professorship Series. Funds have been reserved to stimulate departments to bring distinguished scholars to campus in appropriate fields and disciplines. These individuals will be made available to teach courses in their areas of expertise, as well as to provide lectures and seminars to the general campus community. We have thus far extended an invitation to Professor Louis Ray, who will offer this spring under the College of Arts and Sciences courses on the discovery and geopolitical history of Arctic regions. Through this program, it is our hope to be able to provide an additional extra margin of excellence, and I look forward to your recommendations for sponsorship of other distinguished scholars yet this year. We will have guidelines forthcoming on this shortly. Finally, you will note that I am a man of my word. I told you last year that I would do something about the gravel pit out front. You laugh, but I have. I have taken a relatively well-contained quadrangle of gravel, which formerly existed between Greening and Constitution, and I have expanded it all the way from Wickersham to the Fine Arts Building. Now, while you might find this slightly offensive to your aesthetic senses, you must admit it at least has an integrity of the whole, a gestalt, if you will. Seriously, though, we are continuing our program of campus improvements, and we'll work toward further improvements in our physical appearance. I suppose if I continue in this vein, you'd want me to stop that program. How do things look for this fall? Relatively crowded, I would say. As of August the 6th, our applications on file were 3,268 compared to August 7th last year, 2,770. That's an 18% increase. Our acceptances as of this August 6th were 2,366 compared to 1,774 a year ago. That's a 33% increase. Student housing, although we have increased the number of bed spaces by 100 from September 81 to September 82, we achieved capacity and actually over capacity around April 5th, and currently we are at 110% with an additional 200 students on a waiting list. But let's put this in perspective. The deans are planning their sections for a 16% increase and have room to modify and adjust upward if warranted. Little room, not much. Our ability to do so rests primarily upon the increased tuition money, which has been distributed to those schools and colleges where we expect greatest enrollment impact. In actuality, though, we are only really beginning to approach the class sizes that we see in most universities in the lower 48. Last fall, our average class size was 19.1, and our pattern ran somewhat like this. An average of 28.6 in lower division courses, an average of 12.5 in upper division courses, and an average of 7.3 in our graduate programs. Evidently, our biggest problems are in the lower division offerings, but there is ample room in our upper division courses. I think our graduate numbers tend to reflect the very individualized nature of our programs in the sciences. I think you will see a somewhat elongated schedule this fall in order to better utilize facilities in the early morning and late afternoon. And in the final analysis, we think that we have room in classes to accommodate the increases. Certainly many sections will fill, and students may not be able to get their first choice of classes. But we do think that there are adequate sections available. In this regard, let us also remember that there will be many new faces wandering around, and if you can, go out of your way to help and to make this first week as pleasant as we possibly can for our clients, the students. That, ladies and gentlemen, I think is a brief thumbnail sketch of the immediate present. Relative to the future, there are really a few nagging problems that we must come to grips with this year. We must deal with unit guidelines for promotion and tenure so that all faculty receive equitable treatment in the process. We must come to grips with the issue of concurrent rank or non-tenure track as appropriate and stop trying to hammer people into molds that do not fit. Too many capable individuals are being wasted in this process. I think we must provide more equitably for our research associates, and we must hone and refine our planning process into a simplified and streamlined one that allows for much input but gives clear and decisive focus to the institution. And finally, I think we must continue to work toward an identity as the University of Alaska Fairbanks, one that distinguishes us from other U of A institutions, for we are indeed friendly competitors, and I think our future hinges on this institution's ability, UAF's ability, as distinct from our sister institutions, to be the premier deliverer of quality higher education in Alaska. And where do we go from there? As you know, our FY84 budget request, that which begins a year from now, is primarily a shore-up year. The strengthening of the College of Arts and Sciences, the increasing of non-personnel and technical support staff, establishing a solid funding base for our research faculty and accreditation of our professional schools. Thus, our immediate goal is to solidify our base. And following this, I think you can expect in the next few years to see further development of our professional schools, including an improved research capability within them, the strengthening and development of selected master's degree programs in the arts and humanities, Further general development of graduate studies, including assistantship and fellowship support of our students. Greater integration of teaching and research. A strengthening of undergraduate quality, particularly in certain areas, and the development of a climate that might be more conducive to learning. I think you will see further enhancement of summer and evening programs and a more international student body drawn from the Far East, northern latitude countries, as well as our neighboring Canada. I think we need to reclaim our role as an international leader in the area of Arctic biology, and we must proceed with the filling of certain gaps in already established fields, the absence of which hinders our service to this state. Together we shall scope these directions out in a selected and planned fashion and establish a clear and decisive set of priorities. In closing, let me state that you have made the transitional year for Sharla and for me a most wonderful one. We thoroughly enjoyed working with you all last year, and as a result of our interactions, I came home many a night so stimulated with ideas that it was early morning before I could bring myself to relax and fall asleep. What a great way to lose sleep. I never do it over problems, just ideas. And I guess I would like to thank all of you very much for that gift. And if you provide it to your students in at least equal fashion, I'm sure that this again will be another great year. Thank you very much. At this point, I'd like to call upon Dr. Peter McCroy, President of the Assembly.
I knew he was going to do that when he kept talking about what we are going to do this year, and the Assembly was prominent in all of that. That has, in fact, represented somewhat of a change in the way things have been done in the university in the past. The Assembly is a very prominent organization of government, if you will, and in fact functions much as a legislative body does on this campus. You'll notice from Chancellor O'Rourke's comments that many of the things that he is proposing are really joint activities between the Assembly as the representative body of the campus and the administration, which is the Executive Council and the Chancellor. I just have a few more points about the Assembly. It's, as you know, it's elected from at least the faculty. There are also appointees by the chancellor and by the ASUA president. There's also elections from the staff for representation. The assembly meets on the third Wednesday of every month. Generally, we'll meet in the Wood Center Ballroom, and these meetings are open. I invite you all to participate in those meetings as you can. The Communications Center for the Assembly is the office on the seventh floor of Greening, adjacent to the Chancellor's office. This is run by Kathy Webb, who is an excellent resource on this campus and knows a great deal about what's going on, both in terms of our campus as well as in the statewide activities of administration and statewide assembly. The functions of the Fairbanks Assembly, many of which have already been mentioned by Chancellor O'Rourke, but it does consist of the Academic Council, a very important and major subgroup of the Assembly. This, in the past year, has been chaired by Kalf Jawira, and they did a great many things, only of a few of which I can mention here. But the general function of the Academic Council is to approve new courses, to review academic standards and policy regulations, schedules, and deal with, in general, the university catalog. I'd like to also remind you that both the minutes of the assembly meetings and the academic council meetings are available on the university computer system. If you want to find out in detail what's going on, you can ask to be on that distribution list and actually get into the computer system and find out what's happening. Other units of the assembly consist of the permanent committees, and that's promotion, tenure, sabbatical leave, as well as a new committee that was established in the past year. That's the evaluation of teaching effectiveness. It also includes a committee called the Employees Classification Appeals Committee, and this is a standing committee of the Assembly, and of course the Grievance Council. So all of those functions under those committees are standing functions, if you will, of the Assembly. Much of the latitude of the Assembly has to do with its ability to appoint ad hoc committees, and these are committees that come and go, are given a specific function to deal with, and when they've done that, they dissolve. We have a great many of those in any given year. The list is really quite long at any time, and if you have a particular problem or an area that you think the Assembly should look into, usually the mechanism is to establish an ad hoc committee that's either done by the Assembly per se or jointly with the Chancellor, several of which Chancellor O'Rourke has mentioned. The last year, 1981-82, the Assembly did a great many things, and I'd like to thank here all of the Assembly members that participated in that. It was really an excellent year for the campus. A notable accomplishment was a revision of essentially of the university budget process that puts the Assembly in a position to approve that budget, and that's in part working with the, of course, the Executive Council. But that is something that hasn't happened before on this campus. It was sort of a trial this year, but it worked very well, and in fact we expect to see a good deal more of that. There are many other accomplishments from this past year. We've renovated the university press, and that's now up and going. That was forwarded to the statewide administration and Assembly, but it's all because of the committee from this campus. Already mentioned were the honors program. There was another group that established a policy for a disability leave bank. We've done the computer assessment, pre-registration, the annual catalog. Oh yes, the copying charges have been standardized, and now there are untold thousands of dollars in student pockets, which I'm sure Robert George is grateful for. There's many of those accomplishments for the past year, a great many more that I can't mention here right now, but we have also worked, and that's a continuing effort for this year, on a revision of the statewide assembly. And this we hope to integrate the process of statewide assembly government into much more into the local campuses than it is now, and make it a much more effective agency than it currently is. For the coming year, Chancellor O'Rourke has already mentioned that we have elections coming up, and these are very important. Faculty members that are eligible for the promotion, tenure, sabbatical leave committees, those nominations are due on the 8th, before the 8th. Those are very important faculty functions, and I encourage you to participate. It does take a lot of work, as anybody on those committees will tell you, that it's a dedicated process, but an invaluable one for the campus. We will also be looking at concurrent rank. We intend to deal with that problem finally in a clean way that has been nagging us for a long time. We have a new policy for academic freedom. The current one is very vague, and we hope to have a report and a final policy on that sometime this fall. We have established already an athletic policy review, a faculty committee that will look at that. That it will be something that's a new responsibility of the Assembly and of the faculty. We will, as already mentioned again, establish a computer planning committee as a permanent committee, I hope, of the Assembly eventually, plus the other functions that are on planning, campus development in the future. We intend to review and look at the criteria and regulations on evaluation and promotion. It's another very important function that's on our agenda for this coming year. We will intend to review and revise the student housing policy, as that is a continuing effort. We hope to sponsor sometime soon after the primaries a political information forum so that you will have access to questions to the candidates that are running for the elections and find out their opinions on the university and where they stand in many of those aspects. We are continuing to revise the statewide assembly to make it more functionally integrated. There are a number of things that will come up, and I encourage you to to talk to your assembly representatives, to present problems to them or to me, to get them into the sort of the business line of the university. And we have really a very broad charge that we can deal with many problems and things. And working now with the chancellor and with the executive council, it seems to be a very successful way to pursue our own self-government. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. McCrary. I'd like to make a couple of introductions. Some of you may have read in the paper that Dr. Larry Bennett has requested a leave of absence to serve as acting vice president for academic affairs at Alaska Pacific University. So Larry will be leaving campus about September the 10th. In his place, I have appointed, and he has willingly accepted, Dr. William Phillips, Dean of the School of Management, who will be acting vice chancellor for academic affairs this next year. Bill? We additionally have a few changes in deans. Dr. Vera Alexander, in the normal three and a half year rotation in the College of Arts and Sciences. As you know, we don't have a permanent dean. We just keep it afloat there all the time. Anyhow, Dr. Alexander succeeds Dr. Broderer. We have Dr. Ray Barnhart, who this year is acting dean of the College of Human and Rural Development. And two individuals who are not here. Acting Dean of the School of Mineral Industry, David Manivel, is away, but Ernie Wolf is sitting in for him today. And Milton Fink will be Acting Dean of the School of Management. Each of the deans has been asked to introduce their faculty and to make a few brief highlight comments relative to their areas. So why don't we begin the College of Arts and Sciences. Betty?
We are looking forward to a big year, lots of students, lots of growth. I think in arts and sciences we're all very much committed that we don't want to just grow in numbers, but to continue to grow in quality as well. In almost every department of the college, ideas, new programs are going on. Many things will be started for the first time this year. The chancellor's already mentioned a number of them, but just as small samples, some that he didn't mention. NICSA, which stands for Northwest Interinstitutional Council for Study Abroad, will be in its first full year of operation. This offers an opportunity for students from Alaska, whatever college their major is in, to study abroad for a year in a number of different countries. Within the arts, Duma Theater, I'm happy to say, will be reactivated this year. The pipe organ will be completed, and there will be a new technical director for the theater to ease operations. So we are looking forward to a very exciting year in that respect. In social science, the faculty are working together for a new focus of their research to combine the talents of political scientists, historians, geographers. Research particularly in Alaska public policy concerns, such studies as decentralization of education, increasing community participation in education. In science, with the remodeling of Duckering, physics can at last look forward to some expansion of their laboratory facilities. And in chemistry, a new computer terminal will, for the first time, permit applications of computer technology to classroom instruction. Mathematical science, the faculty here are working on a reorganization of curricula in mathematical science, in mathematics itself, and also in computer science to better serve not only their own majors, but everyone on campus, and it is all of us who use mathematics. To aid and abet in all of this, there are new faculty on board, some of them for a year, lending expertise, replacing people, some of them in new tenure track positions. I'd like to introduce them at this time, and when I call your name, will you stand up and remain standing till we finish so people can recognize you if they meet you on campus? Colonel Michael B. Ahern is newly with the ROTC here. He's professor of military science and will be replacing Colonel Smeltzer, who's retired. James T. Burnham, assistant professor of mathematics, be replacing Dr. Brown, who retired last year. David Case, visiting associate professor of Alaska Native Studies and Political Science, replacing Anthony Strong. J. Stephen Crosby, assistant professor of theater with the Native Studies program, who will be directing Duma Theater. Patrick J. Daly, assistant professor of journalism, replacing Catherine George. Douglas L. Dill, assistant professor of journalism, replacing Stephanie Marcus. Ronald W. Gatterdam, professor of computer science, replacing Dr. Wilkinson. Ellen Glenn, visiting professor of English. James Gregg, visiting professor of philosophy, replacing Dr. Benish, who is on sabbatical. John P. Lambert, assistant professor of mathematics. Arnie N. Langzen, visiting professor of chemistry, replacing Dr. Janot, who is on sabbatical. John S. Leipzig, assistant professor of speech communication. Richard Logan, visiting professor of geography, replacing Roger Pearson, replacing Phil Van Veldhuizen, who is on special sabbatical, and his name is lots easier to read. William Viavant, visiting professor of computer science, replacing Ed Gauss, who is on special sabbatical. Kessler Woodward, assistant professor of art. Teresa L. Gilson, instructor of French and Spanish. And Daniel St. John, instructor of English as a foreign language. Welcome to all of you. Thank you.
Dr. Alexander, the College of Environmental Science.
Well, as you have just heard, I am the new floating dean that has just landed rather flat-footedly in a throne. And so I will have to give you a few general plug words, but not really expand in any great detail on the programs that will be coming up this year, since I only just took office. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about the structure of this unique college. We're composed of three major divisions. The Division of Life Sciences, which has very large undergraduate programs, but also important graduate ones. This includes biological sciences, wildlife and fisheries, the WAMI medical program, anthropology. Then there's the Division of Geosciences, which has the geology geophysics program, and also the graduate space physics and atmospheric science program. And finally, the Division of Marine Sciences, which has the program in marine sciences with various options. Now, this College of Environmental Sciences has a reputation, to some degree, for having a split personality, in the sense that there's no other college on this campus which we believe has such a balanced split between instructional activities and research programs. As I pointed out, in instruction, we have some of the largest undergraduate programs, such as the biological sciences and geology and geophysics. However, equally apparent is the presence of large research institutes, the Geophysical Institute, the Institute of Arctic Biology, the Institute of Marine Sciences. And these foster the strong graduate programs and bring a certain perspective to the college. And while administratively this structure does cause problems, especially for the dean, it does result in a certain vigor and excitement. And that vigor and excitement business brings me to the second split personality point I want to make, and that is we are also geographically split in activities between the so-called West Ridge and the so-called Lower Campus. And we seek all the time to remain a unified and integrated part of the UAF activities. In order to do this, one of the things we do is to sponsor a seminar each month for the college held in Scheibel Auditorium on the first Friday of each month. We sincerely wish as many of you as possible would attend and that you encourage your students to attend the seminar. We try to make these events special. Students are certainly to be encouraged because we try to make them also general and of such interest that they will serve to introduce important research areas. Finally, as the College of Environmental Sciences, we pride ourselves in being a college which makes first-class use of this vast natural laboratory of the North that we have here. And reflected in this is the fact that the Institute of Arctic Biology hosted the Alaska Science Conference last September. This year, the Institute of Marine Science will be hosting the Alaska Science Conference. This will be held at Alaska Land because it's going to be after the semester is underway, and I hope that doesn't cut down the participation by people from the campus. It will be between the 16th and 18th of September, and a very wide variety of programs are planned. Preceding the conference, and a couple of days before, will be the Pacific Northwest meeting of the American Geophysical Union, also at Alaska Land. Even bigger things are planned next summer in the conference field, and I might just mention that the 4th International Permafrost Conference will be held on the Fairbanks campus between the 18th and 22nd of July, 1983. This is a major event, and planning has been underway for some time, with the National Academy of Sciences Polar Research Board working with the University of Alaska in organizing this conference. Now to get to our new faculty here again, yeah, I've got a slight problem in that I'm only going by what I read because I really am not familiar since I was not dean at the time that new faculty were recruited. I have nobody listed for the Division of Biological Sciences. I hope that is correct. If not, I'm perfectly happy to stand corrected and have any new people introduced at this time. If there are not, I will first mention that in the Division of Geosciences, there's a new assistant professor of geophysics, David C. Fritz. He has a PhD from University of Illinois, and he comes from the Physical Dynamics Incorporated. I believe he's out of town now, so we will not ask him to stand up. But the other new person in the Division of Geosciences is Rainer J. Newbery, assistant professor of geology, PhD from Stanford University. Is Dr. Newbery here? In the Division of Marine Sciences, most of the recruiting was done last year with three new faculty members, so this year I have only got professional support staff to announce. There's a new master of the research vessel Alpha Helix, Captain Ira S. Bailey. He was formerly captain of Alaskan 1 for Alaskan Fisheries. Also on board the Alpha Helix is a new professional marine technician, Ms. Susan Ellis. She has a Bachelor of Science from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and comes from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And finally, Mr. Brendan Kelly, a research associate with the Division of Marine Sciences, a BS from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, again formerly with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm glad that we are providing ourselves a trained cadre of manpower to employ. And that, I think, completes my presentation. Thank you.
Vin Hahnemann from Engineering.
Thank you, Chancellor. Probably with all this sweetness and light going on, I ought to ruin it a little bit. The modification to duck ring is going to upset everybody that has anything to do with duck ring immensely because of the pounding, banging, and what have you. And we hope to have that started by mid-spring, and the Chancellor and I hope it will be over by December of 83. We're praying that it will. But seriously, the people in the basement will have to be displaced, and we're working on that so that the trauma involved in that basement move will not be as large as it appears in the first place. One good thing when you enter Room 317 in duck ring, you'll see some vast changes. This is thanks to the physical plant and a bunch of other people who've been working very hard to put together a educational TV recording classroom for us. And it's being equipped today, and we hope that we'll be on the air by the end of the week or next week so we can start practice. Since we have four courses that will be taped this fall, there is a heavy schedule, but I urge everyone to get in touch with their own deans and programs to look at the idea of TV tape as a means of communicating educational programs outside of the local Fairbanks environment. The one that we did last fall with Eb Rice has had over 100 students. And the students are scattered from Texas to Prudhoe Bay. It's been highly successful. There are a lot of things wrong with it as far as you can observe as professionals, but the students have accepted it extremely well, and our reputation is growing from that work. Now, I have the extreme pleasure to introduce a number of faculty who have joined us or will join us. Probably the first one is Nicholas Kotze, Associate Professor of Civil Engineering, PhD from Cal Berkeley, formerly with Jeffries and Green Consulting Firm in South Africa. He's joined us complete with two miniature elephants and a wife. And Nick, we're awfully glad to have you. His field is transportation. And if your road doesn't work, see John Burdick, his department head, instead of Nick. Right, Nick? Next one is Warren Hansen, who come to us as Associate Professor of Civil Engineering. Although the paper says he has a baccalaureate from here, he also has a master's from Colorado State and is in the process of getting his doctorate from the same institution. I hope that Warren doesn't stand up, because I'm sure some cocktail party will be damn surprised if he pops up all of a sudden right now. But he will join us next week. The next one is Jean Stein, civil engineer, master's from Laval. He is an assistant temporary civil engineering professor taking Doug Kane's place while Doug is off on sabbatical. Jean, we're very glad to have you with us. Next, I don't think that we had an opportunity to introduce Charlie Chan's number one son. We have Dr. Kim Wu, PhD from from Texas A&M University, electrical engineer, assistant professor, master of computers and all kinds of stuff like that. And Kim, we're awfully glad to have you here. He's really turned things on for us in computers. The next one we have, we're in negotiations, but I'll introduce him anyhow. And I don't know whether Juan knows that he's talking about it, but Dave Spell from the Physical Institute is talking about joining us. Dave has a master's from the University of Washington, looking at an assistant professor in electrical engineering, and we hope we negotiate the things in satisfactory terms for both of us. And that, Mr. Chancellor, is our extent. Thank you.
Bill Phillips from management.
Thank you, Chancellor. I think that I come to you today without portfolio. I am not yet a vice chancellor, and we have appointed an acting dean. I would like to have you meet that acting dean, Milton Fink. Milton, would you please stand? To complete the ripple effect, we also have a new acting head of the Department of Accounting, Professor Tom Bartlett. Tom? Now for one more introduction. The school management this fall is initiating its new degree program, the MS in Resource Economics. We are therefore terribly delighted to have with us Assistant Professor Nancy Williams, who is completing her PhD at Berkeley. Nancy? One or two words about our programs. Milton and I agreed that I would tell you about the thing that the school would do this year with which he concurs. Certainly there will be an expansion of the accounting program, the precise dimension of which is still unclear. But beyond that, there are one of two things that loom very important. The school is continuing its march towards accreditation by the American Assembly of Collegiate Schools of Business. This past year, the school engaged in a rather thorough and comprehensive review and moderation of its curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels. And so this year, we are going to be working through that new curriculum and enforcing the new requirements and interrelationships. As an outgrowth of our quest for professional school accreditation, there will be an enhanced emphasis on research. And we can expect, therefore, significantly increased involvement in accounting, business administration, and economics for research and publication. By way of specific program emphases, I think there are two that need mentioning. One is international management. The school has been embarked for 2 years now on development of an international curriculum. It is anticipating the formal presentation of an interdisciplinary-oriented international management degree this year. And additionally, we will be hosting a very significant international business conference. You'll be hearing a great deal more about that. The second dimension, I think, which deserves mention, is computer literacy. The school intends to embed the computer into the fabric of our educational programs. We anticipate the acquisition of hardware as well as the software and philosophical commitment that goes with computer literacy throughout the entire school. Thank you very much.
Ernie Wolf from Mineral Industry.
Thank you. Well, I'm here representing Dave Manable, who couldn't be here today. In fact, he's in the States. In addition to a few highlights, I might tell you the structure of our school. We are one of the professional schools. We have two academic departments, mineral engineering and petroleum engineering. There are three programs within mineral engineering. That's geological engineering, mining engineering, and mineral preparation. Besides these two academic departments, we have mining extension, which conducts prospecting and mining classes throughout the state. And we have the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory, which I'm connected with, which is the research arm of this School of Mineral Industry. A few of the highlights, our second department, which is the newest one, is petroleum engineering. They've only been a department for 2 years, but they expect to graduate their first master's person with a master's degree probably early next year. Some of the other highlights from this past year have been a number of conferences. We have now an annual placer mining conference held about the first week in April. We had 600 people in this room last spring. We have had two coal conferences, which attract people from around the nation, and we hope to make that a regular event. This summer, we had the second annual joint conference between National Cheng Kung University of Taiwan and this institution. The first one was held last year in Taiwan, and the second one this year here at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I might now introduce the new members of our staff. They are listed on the sheet which you have. The first is from Petroleum Engineering, Ali Al-Kafaji, PhD from Stanford. He is a petroleum engineer. The second is Sukumar Bandopadhyay, Assistant Professor of Mining Engineer, and he has just received his PhD from Penn State. He is a mining engineer. Dr. Frank Skudrick, sitting next to him, also a mining engineer who comes to us by way of University of Missouri and Rollins. He received his 3 degrees from the University of Krakow. It's not exactly that way. University of Mining and Metallurgy in Krakow. And as I say, he's been in Rollins. The fourth one listed, John Utchev, who will be with the Mineral Industry Research Lab, has not arrived yet. He will be an assistant professor of coal conversion. And I believe that's all we have.
Jim Drew from Agriculture and Land Resource Management.
Thank you, Chancellor. The School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management consists of an instructional and public service program and the Agricultural Experiment Station, which has research centers at Fairbanks, at Palmer, and at Homer. This year, we're very pleased to welcome a new staff member to our Agricultural Experiment Station here at Fairbanks, Dr. Robert Cullum. Dr. Cullum comes to us from the University of Tennessee, where he's completed a PhD degree in agricultural engineering, and he is the first agricultural engineer that we have had available to us within the Agricultural Experiment Station on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. We're real happy to have you here, Dr. Cullum. In terms of our program during the coming year, I'd like to mention just one or two items. We will be initiating this year for the first time two options within our Natural Resources Management major, which is the major that we offer under the Bachelor of Science degree program within the School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management. These two new options are in agriculture and forestry. They were approved by the administration in the assembly this past year. They require 30 hours of core requirements and then an additional 12 credit hours selected from a list of 21 restricted electives and 16 related disciplines. The thrust for providing these options within our general natural resources management major came from increases and improvements within the forestry area within the state of Alaska. For example, within the past few years, the state has taken over much of the fire suppression work in forestry from the federal government. The legislature passed a Forest Practices Act, which requires specific practices on state and federal land within the state. And a division of forestry was formed within the Department of Natural Resources at the state level. All of these things have tended to add more impetus to forestry within the state, and so consequently our natural resources management option then will offer, our natural resources management major will offer an option of forestry. In addition, there's been a considerable increase in interest in agriculture in Alaska during the past 5 years. In 1979, the Alaska Agricultural Action Council was formed by the state legislature with a mandate to develop agricultural programs within the state. And since that time, the state has adopted a goal of having 500,000 acres of land in agricultural production by 1990. Last year, two statewide organizations, specifically the Alaska Farmers and Stockgrowers Associations and the State Grange, passed resolutions asking that the University of Alaska establish a 4-year bachelor's degree in agriculture. At the present time, we do not offer a 4-year degree program in agriculture. So the agriculture option then under our Natural Resources Management program is a step toward increasing our ability to provide training for students in the various areas of agricultural science. In terms of our research program, I'd like to mention just two or three items which we'll be looking at this year as new programs. For one thing, the School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management has been instrumental in developing an integrated research, teaching, and extension program in applied reindeer management to support the developing reindeer industry in western Alaska. This involves cooperation with the Agricultural Experiment Station, the Institute of Arctic Biology, the Geophysical Institute, the Cooperative Extension Service, and the United States Department of Agriculture, specifically through the Soil Conservation Service. The purpose of this program is to provide a direct interaction between the teaching, research, and extension functions necessary to develop this industry, even though those functions may be associated with various units within the university and also involve federal organizations. This coming year, fortunately, through grant support from the Alaska Council on Science and Technology, our Agricultural Experiment Station will be developing a new research program in the dynamics and supply and utilization of soil nitrogen, which is particularly important with respect to the new agricultural developments underway in Alaska. In addition, that same Council on Science and Technology has funded research dealing with the persistence and efficacy of herbicides in agricultural soils within Alaska. Through a major grant from the United States Department of Agriculture, we have a program designed to improve tillage systems for soil and water conservation under newly developing agricultural systems within the state. And in terms of our Palmer Research Center, a major grant from the Terrestrial Environmental Specialist Firm has been provided for mapping vegetation in the proposed Susitna Hydroelectric Power Project site. So we're looking forward to increased developments within these areas as well as in the total teaching, research, and public service program necessary to support and develop the agricultural and forestry industries within Alaska.
Ray Barnhart from Human and Rural Development.
I guess this stage is as good a place as any to launch one's acting career. As Chancellor O'Rourke mentioned earlier, the departments of sociology, the faculty of the departments of sociology and psychology, and the faculty of the School of Education last spring spent quite a bit of time hammering out a reorganization process which resulted in the creation, a recommendation to the Chancellor, for the creation of a College of Human and Rural Development, which has transpired. And this morning, the combined faculty of the three departments that make up that college met for the first time, so I don't have a whole lot to report on in terms of where we're going, other than to indicate that we are going to be undergoing a major review process, reviewing all of our program offerings and attempting to streamline programs, strengthen them, and tailor them to address particular issues and concerns in the state. Specifically, some of the program areas that we'll be working in are programs in areas such as cross-cultural counseling, rural social work, rural sociology, cross-cultural psychology, rural school administration, cross-cultural emphases in our teacher education programs, etc. We have a whole batch of committees that are going to be working on that through this year and are inviting various faculty members from other departments with potential interest in some of those areas to join those committees as full-fledged members. We offer an open invitation to any of you who have an interest in the types of programs that might be offered under this college to get in touch with myself or any of the faculty members. Let us know, and we welcome your input. We hope to, a year from now, have some recommendations for fairly substantial program changes to be available or ready to be presented to the Academic Council for their review. For the first time in a long time, we do not have any new faculty in the college, and I'm not sure what to attribute that to. We do, however, have some reassignments. The three departments of the college have department heads, fortunately, for me anyway. And those people are, and I won't ask them to stand for fear of being embarrassed, myself being embarrassed, that is, since not only one or two of them are here. In the area of human behavioral sciences and human services, Nag Rao will serve as the head of that department. In the area of education, Dick Rydell will be the head of that department. And in the new Department for Rural Development, Pat Dubbs will serve in that capacity. The position that Pat held last year, coordinator of the Cross-Cultural Education Development Program, will be assumed by Barbara Harrison. And we have a faculty member, new faculty, visiting faculty member for the fall semester, Dr. Cliff Brennan from the University of California, San Diego, who will be substituting for, standing up in the back there, substituting for Ted Drain, who is on sabbatical, and Dr. Brennan will be working on developing a accreditable BSW program. Thank you.
Dr. Harris Shelton, Student Services.
Dr. Phillips, the former dean of the School of Management, came to you without portfolio. In Student Affairs, I'm pleased to report to you that our portfolios runneth over. We have, as an example, 1,700 approximately students who would be delighted to sleep in our 1,400 beds. Once we get that number down to 1,400, we have 1,400 people who can't wait to eat some excellent meals in our dining commons, which seats around 500. All of those of you who have worked so hard on retention over the years, we salute you. We kind of are keeping very positive attitudes, outlooks, stiff upper lips. We believe in Max Lerner, who said that what we need to bring us together is a good common enemy. We think we have one. The adversity of lines and overcrowding, but we are confident that with your help, students will rise above the petty inconveniences of lines and overcrowding and 1,700 and 1,400 beds. I'd like to introduce a few of the new people who are going to help us do all this. We have three out of the five here today. The two that are not here, at least I haven't seen them come in. Carol Deal has just joined us a week ago from West Virginia University. She just received her PhD there and was on their staff, and she will be a member of our counseling center, replacing Dr. Halston, who's left. Scott Sterling will be the resident advisor in Nerland Hall, and I don't think Scott is here. I'm sure he'll jump up if he is. Scott is known to some of you who've been around. He was a Senate president for ASUA, and he's an undergraduate student here. And then we have three seated together for security, all brand new, all resident advisors, and I'll ask them to stand. Lori Servant received a master's from Bowling Green. She's recently of Urbana College, and she is a resident advisor in Wickersham Hall. Next to her, Mark McDonald, received his master's degree at Kent State University and recently has had a teaching assignment in rural Alaska. He is the resident advisor in Stevens Hall. And Jack Singer, next to him, Jack is of Rutgers University and also has had a teaching assignment in rural Alaska just lately. And Jack is the resident advisor in Bartlett Hall. We welcome all three of these, and we know that they will be the frontline people with our anticipated 5,000 students. Thank you very much.
John Gilmore, would you introduce our new coaches, please?
And in addition to that athletic program, we have two new head coaches this year. First, Francis Buckley. She comes to us from Central Wyoming College and has a master's degree from Mississippi State College. And in our women's basketball program, in the men's and women's running and cross country team program, John Hessel, graduate of Middlebury College.
Thank you. Given the fact that our retention power is rapidly dwindling, I think we need to bring the program rapidly to a close. Let me briefly explain the handout. As you know, last year we began the process of trying to feed back to you information on the university budget. You input every year, we take your input, we formulate a budget, we go to the legislature, and then you never hear anything from us. We have tried to reverse that pattern. What you do have is a breakout by instruction, research, etc. A couple of brief editorial notes. All funds includes grants and contracts, etc. You would be interested in Fund 1, which would be reflective of fee increases and general fund income from the state. Please review them. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them. Each of your deans has been asked to provide you a more detailed breakdown. So, for instance, if you turn to page 5, which I believe is a breakout by college, each of the deans, in meeting with you over the course of the next few weeks, will take that one step further and provide you a breakout by department, so you can see what is happening financially within your various schools and colleges. In order to close, then, and I will defer with the overheads, which are elaborations of that material, I'd like to ask Larry Bennett to make a few announcements.
Thank you, Chancellor, and good afternoon. I'd like first to call your attention to the blue memo that the Chancellor had distributed to faculty and staff concerning the opening week activities, and let me just briefly hit some of the highlights. Tomorrow at 9 in the morning, there will be a meeting of all graduate advisors. That'll be held in Scheibel Auditorium. One of the highlights of that meeting will be the presentation of some of the recommendations put forth by the Graduate Subcommittee of the Academic Council. Be a chance for you to become familiar with those before they go to the Academic Council early this fall. Then at the same time on Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, there will be a meeting for all undergraduate advisors. The sheet says Duckering 317. That is not right because it's still under construction. Go to Scheibel Auditorium instead. If you go to Duckering 317, there will be a note reminding you to go to Scheibel. This will be for all undergraduate advisors. All new faculty, whether you're advisors or not, are invited to that meeting. It'll be a good chance for you to begin to become acquainted with academic programs and the advising process. So if you'd like to, you certainly are invited to attend that. Following that meeting, there will be a meeting for all new advisors. So that will all happen on Wednesday morning, beginning at 9 o'clock in Scheibel Auditorium. Thursday afternoon, we've set aside a special time for new faculty and their spouses. Three events. At 1:30, there will be a workshop for all new first-year faculty and their spouses, focusing on the UAF student. The Office of Student Affairs will conduct this workshop. Then at 3:30, we will have what we're calling a campus resources tour, where we'll just walk around the campus and begin to become familiar with some of the resources out there that will support your teaching and research and service activities, things like the library and the bookstore, the Office of Admissions and Records, and so forth. And then from 5:30 to about 7 o'clock, there will be an informal reception at the Chancellor's House. And again, I urge all new faculty and your spouses to take part in this afternoon of activities. Then the sheet says the residence hall is open for students on Sunday. There will be a new student convocation on Monday morning. Registration materials will be available for students beginning on Monday morning. Academic advising is to start at that time. If you haven't started already, that will begin at 8 o'clock Monday morning. Registration takes place Tuesday and Wednesday, August 31st and September 1st, with the beginning of classes on Thursday, September 2nd. There is a misprint. It says special student registration from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. On Wednesday, that is 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. 11 of your colleagues will take part in our Rural Alaska Orientation Program for faculty who've been here between 1 and 5 years. That takes place beginning tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We'll meet in Duckering 232 for a pre-trip orientation, and then the travel program will take place either beginning tomorrow night or Wednesday morning throughout the balance of the week. And finally, the Chancellor has pointed out the approval of our new honors program. I would call your attention to the fact that we are recruiting, and we will distribute information about an honors program director. Two pages, and these will be available very shortly. Let me just read. The position of honors program director is a part-time faculty position equivalent to 1/4 time during the academic year and 1 month during the summer. In general, the director will coordinate the program, working closely with faculty who teach honors sections, a seven-member faculty honors council, and, of course, the honors students themselves. During this 82-83 year, the task will be to get the program up and running, publicize it, recruit students, so that then the program itself will begin in the fall of 1983. Applications, if you're interested, and we're recruiting only from among our faculty, applications will be due to Dr. Phillips, Acting Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, by September 15, and we would hope to have the person selected and ready to go October 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There are refreshments in back. We'll all be available to answer any questions on anything that you have. Welcome again to the 1982-83 year. Thank you.